You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Holy f***. Holy f***ing f***. Your body is absurd. May need to see the boot. You know what I'm talking about? Your pop culture knowledge is in the toilet, Dan Le Batard. It is the meme that is sweeping the nation.
You're not talking about the one,
Adam
hot
Levine's
one.
DMs.
You're so hot. You're blowing my mind or whatever.
I've already seen one with your body in the meme. Your famous Speedo photo. It's taking on a life of its own. Oh, I may need to see the booty.
Adam Levine, mockable.
I may need to see the booty.
He exists to be beautiful and be made fun of, correct?
Yes.
Oh, and also like it's opening up a whole bunch of problems, like inappropriate workplace behavior for him. There's yoga instructors that have been booted from his tour because they didn't comply. Like, he has gotten himself in a load of trouble now because it is open game. Something that maybe has been said, revealed, but not necessarily gone viral. Once all it takes is one to go viral, and now the floodgates have opened for Mr. Levine.
I didn't know any of the history. I just saw that everybody was playing with the DMs, but I didn't know where it started.
It started on TikTok, Dan. This woman posted a TikTok a few days ago where she alleged that she had an affair with Adam Levine, and he DM'd her after the affair was over to ask if he could name his newborn son after her. And this was all her allegations in the TikTok. So naturally, that is a salacious story and picked up steam on TikTok. It was on everyone's home feeds. Then it moved over to Twitter. And then a couple more people came forward and there were screenshots of DMs. And they were possibly the cringiest messages that anyone's ever read. So that went viral. Like the, oh my God, like, I can't believe
absurd.
How hot you are. It was like me when I open a Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
Like, it was just all over.
What? Didn't
Twitter.
He call himself hot at one point, too? He was like, I know what it's like to be hotter. It was something like that.
He's right about that. I need to find the messages. But
there's one, he's like, oh, I need to get a new tattoo. Oh. God.
It sounded about what you expected Adam Levine to sound like, did it not? Dopey and meatheaded, except perhaps you weren't expecting. You weren't expecting necessarily wildly inappropriate, but hitting on yoga instructors in a way that is ham-handed. You would have had bingo card.
The one allegation from his former yoga instructor was he just told her get naked and he never apologized. She was then booted from the tour and it led to all sorts of problems at home. There was an incident of violence it really spiraled. So apparently Adam Levine was his volume shooter because once that one TikTok went viral, it was open season on Adam Levine and you realize he's DM'd a lot of folks.
I know that I spend a great deal of time scared of everything, but as TikTok takes over Twitter and as the conversations start there before they start anywhere else, are you guys worried at all that now China and TikTok is going to have all of the information of everybody as it seeps into our life as a tool that becomes something that you can't let go of? We'll get to Jessica's social media low point that happened last night. I've got three accusations to make here. One to level at Scott Frost, one at Jessica's late night social media behavior, and one at Mike Ryan again for choosing Texas A&M, Miami football over our program, choosing the program over our program. We'll get to all three of those accusations, but does anyone have any worries about TikTok is now going to overtake everything?
Dan, internet security concerns would have been great like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, where was the legislation that could have actually stopped companies from stealing our information when it would have been useful?
Oh, they already have it, is what you're saying.
China has my email address. Right. They have way more than that, bud.
At this point, we should all just say our social out loud.
You go first.
Right now.
Go ahead.
Five.
What's your mother's maiden name? Wait, do you know?
I do.
Jessica, what happened? What? It wasn't Levine that ensnared you last night at 4 a.m.
No,
or
Dan,
was it?
I played pickup with Witty last night, and I hadn't played in a few months. Honestly thought my chest was going to cave in. Like, my lungs were in pain. And then it was, like, kind of late, so I had to go home and eat. And then I wasn't sleeping well, basically. Like, my heart rate was still really high when I was trying to go to sleep. And I just, like, I could not sleep. So at 4 a.m., I woke up and I was wide awake. And naturally, I went on TikTok. And I was scrolling. A lot of Adam Levine. I saw an Emily Ratajkowski TikTok about Adam Levine. But then I came across a live video, which I assume had to have been from, like, some foreign country based on the time of day. And, like, most of the comments were in other languages. And it was a guy peeling an egg with tweezers on TikTok Live. And it was, so you know how an egg has like a hard outside shell and then there's like a membrane?
Yeah.
So he was peeling the hard outer shell off of the membrane. So there was like this kind of like gooey membrane underneath that still had the shape of the egg.
Between the shell and the white.
Exactly. And it wasn't like a hard-boiled egg. This was like a fresh egg. So he was, then it was very quiet, very calm. And he was peeling it back. He had a few instruments. He had one where he would kind of like unwedge the hard shell from the soft shell. And then he had tweezers. And then he had like this pair of like little like tiny nail clippers to like kind of cut away pieces.
You have to be super careful or the membrane is going to easily come apart.
So I'm watching this, Dan, and I'm watching this for like, I can't even tell you, 20 minutes. And he's getting closer and closer to finishing this egg. And it's exhilarating. People in the chat are going crazy. We're all watching this egg. We're about to find out what happens when the egg is just like an unshelled egg. Like, what's he going to do with it? What does it look like? And so he gets to the last piece.
No.
And he breaks it.
No.
And the egg yolk just splatters everywhere. And the chat goes wild. And I'm laying in bed at 4:30 a.m. And I'm just like, no!
All that work.
I'm never going to sleep again.
And so did you take inventory of your life, what you had done with the last 20 minutes?
I sure hope so.
The way it got sounds pretty captivating.
Oh, my God. It was so... And then, Dan, what happens next? He pulls out another egg and he starts again.
Starts right over.
Wow.
It's a 24-hour channel. He does it all day.
It was amazing. I need to find this account.
Never gets it right.
It was so good. At 4 a.m., just peeling away.
But did you get to see, you were hoping to see the climactic scene of an egg as you've never seen it before completed.
Yes. Also, egg videos always go viral. For some reason, like egg yolks, Food Network always posts this ostrich egg that they peel and then like this huge yolk comes out. It's like massive. For some reason, like eggs captivate people, Dan. And I was absolutely mesmerized by this egg. I wanted to see what it looked like. I needed to do that at 4 a.m., I'm not really sure. There's probably a number of other things I could have done to go back to sleep.
And how did you feel, though, after the 20 minutes had gone by, where you were as you examine the totality of your life? It's 4:20 in the morning. I can't get to sleep. I'm tired. I should get to sleep. I've spent the last 20 minutes hypnotized by somebody trying to unshell an egg.
Honestly, I felt like when I saw Larry Fitzgerald score the go-ahead touchdown in Super Bowl 43, I was like, oh, we're so close, but we have one more chance. It was just like a sporting event. It was the most exhilarating thing I've ever watched, Dan. Wow. And yes, I probably need to work on it. I probably need to drink less caffeine, which is not going to happen anytime soon. Thanks for the espresso, by the way, during the break.
Where does James Harrison returning that ball rank on the happiest you've ever been made as a sports fan?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, where did it rank in the part of the egg? So when he was like halfway through, there was one piece and he needed to get the clippers out. And it looked like a very sharp shard of egg. And I was very worried. And that was like the James Harrison touchdown. Yeah,
that was the Harrison moment right there?
That was the Harrison moment. Jesus. That was around like 4:15.
Times have changed, Dan.
We will get to my accusation for Scott Frost and my accusation to Mike Ryan in a second. That is, you are acknowledging, though, at 4:20 in the morning, that that is officially, historically, nationally, and internationally, the saddest moment of your social media existence.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, good. A champion has been crowned. An announcement has been made at 4:20 in the morning, watching eggs. Not great.
There was a time where you would wake up at 4:20 in the morning and just flick around like HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, find yourself an old classic, fall back to sleep. This TikTok thing, man, it
what
is confusing
done,
and scary.
I should have. I've been reading a book, and not an audible
Why?
Book, an actual paper book, and it's very boring, but it's very good.
Am I catching a stray?
And what I should have done was just turn the little my little light on and read my little book.
Yeah,
but the TikTok, it's just right there.
You have
the
TikTok on right now.
Yeah, I do. This is actually about Adam Levine.
People do say to it's not scary and confusing necessarily, Stugatz, but people do say that when you wake up like that, you shouldn't look at screens. It's going to wake you up all the more. You're not going to be able. It's not just TikTok. It's all social media. But before I get to the accusations to be levied at Scott Frost and Mike Ryan, because football is back, we are getting inundated with football opinions and a lot of this, Stugatz. 49ers fan here. We know Jimmy G is not good enough. Fans of perennial losers such as the Dolphins, like Dan and Witty, etc., the Browns, like Mike, see Jimmy as good enough due to their history of crappy QB play. I'll say this from the cheap seats. Losing the Super Bowl is not an accomplishment. Losing the NFC Championship is not an accomplishment. For San Francisco, only winning the actual Super Bowl gets you good enough status.
He's that guy.
He's right.
Losing the Super Bowl is an accomplishment because you, the week before, won a championship game.
Yeah, but you don't play to lose the game. You play to win every game.
If I supported a team, I would love to just make it because for 2 weeks, you are the belle of the ball. Your helmet is on all the Super Bowl merch. Like you're what everybody's talking about. It should be celebrated more as like, okay, we won an AFC championship. That's like, hang the banner. That's amazing because it's a party that revolves around your team. You'd like to win it, but if you don't, you look back fondly and like, remember that Super Bowl?
I'll take just getting to the AFC Championship game.
Which part
really?
Of this did you guys? Which part of this did you guys not understand?
I'll take the playoff win.
Losing the NFC Championship is not an accomplishment, according to this person from the cheap seats. Also coming in, raining down upon us. Oh man, how fitting that the Ravens game is the one where Tua serves up 6 TDs of hot fresh crow for these negative Nancys masquerading as analysts. Good stuff. No excuses, guys. Eat up.
He's that guy.
And then more efficiently, Witty is insufferable. Stop talking.
He's that guy.
The Scott Frost accusation, Mike. Nebraska, I told you, it really did look like Bethune-Cookman against Oklahoma, where 2nd and 10, Oklahoma would just hand the ball off and get 26 yards every time. And then they just stopped. Otherwise, they could have scored 100 points. On Nebraska. But Scott Frost, where's this from? Is it Bruce Feldman appearing on his podcast or
Bruce
someone
Feldman
else's podcast?
Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel's podcast. Bruce Feldman's as good as an NCAA football insider as you can find. And after Scott Frost was fired, he shared this anecdote from the Ireland trip that Nebraska lost to Northwestern at.
Ireland for that game against Northwestern, it's like there's a staff meeting and the head coach doesn't make it.
What?
You know. So
did the head coach have too much Guinness the night before? What happened there?
I don't know why he didn't make it, but that's not setting a good tone going into your first game of the first game of the season, especially when everybody knows you're on the hot seat.
And it's open season on Scott Frost, and you can get down some Twitter wormholes about exactly how absent he was and how secure he felt his job was at Nebraska, and that attitude kind of permeated, and it's not good enough at Nebraska, and everybody's doing the character assassination thing, which I find funny because they're doing so while wearing a Higher Urban Meyer t-shirt.
Also, peak dad joke in there. What is he, too much Guinness the night before?
He was so satisfied with his follow-up. I mean, that's really all I took from that entire bit of sound right there. I mean, play it again. Just listen to how satisfied he is. Yes.
I mean, it is such a bad look. A
little too much Guinness.
It's a really bad look. I mean, they're in Ireland. He calls like a team meeting that's out of the blue. It's not a normally scheduled team meeting. And they still have to have the meeting. He just doesn't show up.
Is there a lot of precedent for a coach being fired 3 games into a season when you thought he might be good enough 3 games earlier? Like that doesn't happen very often, does it?
It can happen in college football. It has happened before. But usually when it does happen, it's because that coach was probably on extremely thin ice before the season started. Right. And they just needed like one more excuse. Like Brian Harsin could get fired this weekend from Auburn.
Yeah.
It really just, it does happen in college football. It's crazy.
Well, Whitty did it to Mario Cristobal, inexplicably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coach O got fired in the middle of the season last year.
Marcus Freeman came close. I mean,
the distinction I was making, Jessica, is not the firing of a coach in season. It just, 3 games in, I don't have a lot of memory of even understanding that Scott Frost, everybody said he was on thin ice, and even understanding that Scott Frost seems to have made a really bad career decision because he could have ridden Central Florida for a while without those expectations.
It seems from everything that I'm reading is that Scott Frost is actually peak Florida man, that he was right at home there, and he thought he'd be more at home at the college that he played quarterback at. No, dude belongs in Central Florida from everything that I've read.
Also, Herm Edwards got fired this week.
But, he got fired on the field.
But, Dan, you said it's maybe a bad career move because he could have stayed at UCF and there's lower expectations. Well, according to all the UCF fans on Twitter, that's actually not true. The second thing I'll say, he's getting paid tens of millions of dollars now not to coach. Like,
he got
that's
a $15 million dollar buyout.
That's the whole gig. Yeah. Like, that's why you do it. I mean, maybe I'm cynical, but, like, to be a fired head college football coach is the best gig in sports.
It's the greatest thing. Ed Orgeron gave a speech, and he was asked about his firing, and the AD called him into the office, and he's like, the results aren't going the way that we want. He's like, yeah, I know. And they said, but we're going to let you go. It's not going well, and we're going to pay you the remainder of your contract. And he's like, what door do I walk out of?
How fast do you want me to do that? Which door do you want me to choose?
Who's on the thickest ice in all of sports? Is it Belichick still?
Belichick,
Nick
yeah.
Saban.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick Saban.
Saban, Belichick.
At this point,
it's a glacier.
Although fans have been turning on him lately, because I don't know if you guys know, but you know, Alabama is really not up to standard lately. Clay Helton also, I should say, was fired B2 last year and was the team that beat Scott Frost in his final game at Nebraska. Like, that was the final nail in the coffin.
It's like the gypsy's curse. Scott Frost is going to come back at some fledgling program and have some disappointing head coach fired next, and we'll just keep going.
The rehab circuit.
This is what's vogue now in college football, actually firing the head coach very early in the season. There's two ways to go about it. You have this lame duck head coach still recruit for you. That's actually what Miami did when they were chasing Mario Cristobal, something that I was against. Or you do what USC did, and it kind of worked out because they got Lincoln Riley, and that's what Nebraska is trying to do, have the most time to get the best possible candidate.
Is Popovich still on very thick ice?
Great question.
Yeah, Popovich
couple
is good.
Losing seasons.
I love this game. I think
ice is thicker.
Yeah.
When you look back and see how Ed Orgeron got fired or even Larry Coker got fired, if Nick Saban throws up a non-New Year's bowl game this year and then comes out the gate 0-2 next year, you'll see people say that it's time for him to go.
Nah, it's thick ice, though.
I'll play Chris's game. Gino Auriemma. Oh.
Yeah.
Incredibly thick ice.
I'll play your game, Mike Tomlin.
Really?
Thin ice.
Getting thinner.
Medium. Mike Tomlin? The Steelers never fire their coach.
It has Mitch Trubisky, man.
Right?
It's not his fault.
He's 1-1.
I will say, like, fans have been really frustrated with some of the offensive coordinators of the last decade, and there was a moment after they went 8-8, I think it was 2017 or 2018, I can't remember, where Tomlin was kind of felt like the fans had turned a little bit. But now I think like fans really like him, and that's important to Pittsburgh. And the defense is still really, really good. It's really just like an offensive problem. But I wouldn't say he's on the thickest ice, Stu.
We glanced over Herm Edwards being fired on the field.
Well, I tried to get that off the ground Monday, but you were too busy talking about Texas A&M Miami and yelling at me because I had bad energy about them losing to Eastern Michigan.
If they win that game, Arizona State, does he still have his job? Like, how
he still has his job, but there's more.
There's a bunch of allegations and stuff.
Yeah, there's
right?
more to it than results. But we've heard of coaches getting tarmac. That happened to Lane Kiffin famously. We actually have the video of Herm Edwards getting fired on the field. And that is something we've never seen before. And Herm, to his credit, took it like a champ.
Well, but you don't know if he was actually getting fired in that video, though. It just appears to be a
yes.
conversation amongst, you know, but higher ups.
It looked like a firing. It looked like a firing.
I can't speak to it.
Biggest ice in history. Chris Cody, highlight, boom.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
I mean, I tried to steal his team.
He tried to steal it last week.
And what, now it's our team. And
what if they don't deliver this
thick
season,
ice, thice.
You mentioned the Steve easiest Kerr. The job in sports, Jessica.
John Cooper.
Ooh. Is fired college coach better than the stats that Dan Wetzel gave us on Chase Daniel? 13
yes.
years in the league.
Yes, it is.
$42 million. 5 career starts.
He's getting hit though sometimes. Not a lot because he's a quarterback, but like he still has to do the workouts. You don't have to do the workouts if you're a coach, although some of them do because they're look at me Louis. I'd rather stand on the sideline and a visor and get fired and get paid $20 million than ever have to, you know, even pretend to do a little bit of a jog to the line of scrimmage like Chase Daniels had to do.
We need to fill out this Mount Rushmore because I think it's Gino Auriemma, Bill Belichick, and Nick Saban. Those are the top four right now. I mean, top three for thickest ice. Pop? You think Pop's still? I don't know, man. A couple more bad seasons? Yeah.
Pop, well, they're actually tanking this year, and everyone knows that's a plan, and he's going to be there for it. I don't think anyone's going to be calling for his firing. I think, if anything, they'll just ask for more talent, and that's what they're trying to do by tanking.
What about Steve Kerr?
I feel Steve like all Martin. These basketball guys are a couple bad Stugatz seasons away.
Fair.
Stugatz mentioned Steve
Sean
Kerr.
McVay.
Spoelstra probably belongs in that conversation just because he's got the security around him of the entire organization sort of raised him. And he's one of the longest tenured coaches. Mike, I do need to get to this, though, because I think you will finally understand what I'm accusing you of and why it is that you need not be defensive, that your emotions on the University of Miami get the best of you. You came back wanting to analyze the game, and all I wanted was the elevator interaction that you had.
Oh, the college station is weird as all get out, and that's a phrase that they actually say. But they were very nice, almost too nice, like kind of like join our cult type of nice. And everybody would talk to you, and it must be like a big metropolitan city slicker thing, but I don't really like to talk to folks. It's also Miami's a very rude town.
You calling yourself a city slicker always kind of like Miami's a massive metropolitan area, but like it's not like a big downtown city.
Big city slicker, though.
Okay. I have been surprised by the number of people who have approached me bothered by your attitude of not wanting to talk to people.
Honestly, I was doing bit there, but it's been the greatest thing in my life.
Mm-hmm. Talking.
No, people not coming up to me because at UM tailgates, I get recognized all the time. And I know you know it when people recognize you, they look in your eyes, it looks. Stays there a little bit longer, but people are generally pretty chill, except for Tito. Tito wears a Sebastian the Ibis hat on his head. Tito's been calling radio stations for 20 damn years.
Tito's still getting it done. Tito, look how happy that made Roy. Roy Tito, was made happy by that Tito's still out here wearing hats and yelling at people.
I haven't seen him in a good long while.
I have
man.
A problem with like the, vetting, the vetting of the Golden Cane Society because Tito's in the Golden Cane's lounge. And he's always yelling my name, and it's not my thing. And so last week, I'm headed to the tailgate, right? My ice machine on my floor is broken, so I go up to the ice machine up there, and I have one of those Fireball party buckets. Have you ever seen those? It's a bucket of Fireball that has like 20 individual shots of Fireball, an essential piece of my tailgate. So
that's the right face to make there, Jessica. It's awful. Fireball
Why?
Is gross.
And no,
gross.
Because you can just like throw it to folks and then everybody loves
is this
it.
Is this
and
just it's... a you thing or is no? Well, hold on. Is this a YOU thing or a you thing?
It's a Canes thing you just wouldn't understand. So you load it up with ice and you already have the infrastructure within the bucket to get it's a wonderful thing. So I fill that up and I get back down on the elevator, and this lovely lady decked out in her Aggie stuff is in the elevator too, and she's like, "What do you have there?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's Fireball. It has like a cinnamon. It's like a cinnamon thing that you take, and it's a shot." She's like, "I've never heard it before. What'd you call it again?" I'm like, "It's Fireball." And she goes, "Bam, bam, 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 bam." It was like this lady was 70 years old. This was a 70-year-old white woman.
That song will make it. It'll do it to you every time.
Totally disarming. The last thing in the world that I expected was for her to shout back a Pitbull lyric to me.
She just got that joke up like a professional.
She's like, "What'd you call it again?" I'm like, "Fireball." She goes,
"It's what you do, though."
And she started sipping her G&T. And so I finally get to the tailgate. Did not pay for parking. The parking thing there was like you had to prepay for parking. I was like, can I be in here? All the Canes fans are just driving through this poor 19-year-old guy that's the only guy in charge of the lot. Because this was a designated Canes lot. That was what was on social media.
Just driving past
him. Nobody
and over
cared
him.
That you had to actually prepay. Everybody did that. I couldn't pull out. And I was like, no, I'll just drive around and I'll go to the other lot that you're directing me to. Problem is there's only one way in, one way out. So I stayed there. Then my car died. Karma got me back. It's all right. But as I was walking through the tailgate to meet up with some friends, there's a great Canes tailgate. There's like shrimp and stone crab.
Your season always
sounds the same.
Yeah.
Couldn't
consistent.
Hold that
yeah, is that the okay. sounder?
Right into her elbow. Why? Chris, what did you say to Stugatz?
Oh, we could play this thick ice game until the end of time. Me and Stugatz.
I haven't heard a word Mike said.
Oh, yeah. We're just talking. Yes. You guys were playing the thick ice game.
Yes. Tom Izzo.
Tom Izzo. We're trying to debate who has thicker ice, Kirby Smart or Andy Reid?
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to take it.
I'm not saying
not
Kirby.
I'm not doing that joke. That's right there for me. Anyway, so I'm walking through the tailgate, and the music's blasting. It's a good vibe. And then all of a sudden, the music stops, and someone screams into a microphone, "Hey, it's Mike. Mike's here from the Levitard Show. Levitard Mike." And I turn around. It's that goddamn Tito with his Sebastian the Ibis.
Tito.
He was a DJ at friggin' College Station.
Still bringing the same energy is.
Dude, he's so annoying. I know you're listening to this right
he's
now.
Passionate,
I saw your
Mike,
tweet saying
nice
you want
to
try to. Tito,
stop it.
Mike, you know it Mike, bothers me. Mike, leave me alone.
He's going to do it more now, Mike.
He can't possibly do it more than he's already done it.
There's always more for Tito.
Andy Reid is on thick ice.
I'm not so certain he's on thick ice.
He is.
Really?
Yeah.
He better be.
Not Mount Rushmore thick ice.
No, I'm just saying, he's got thick ice, though. He'd be, if it's thick or thin, he's thick.
We were playing a game a little earlier with trying to name AL and NL managers in baseball. Ooh. It's very difficult to do. There's a few. It's like, I have no idea who's the Reds manager. But I don't know if there's any baseball managers who are on thick ice at all currently. Hmm. And maybe like that era is over.
Aaron Boone, maybe?
Boone almost got fired last year.
Shane Roberts because they got payroll.
How about Showalter?
Reds manager.
Is it an Ed? Ed, is there an H in his name?
I'm going to say it's Lupinella.
Is Walt Weiss still coaching somewhere?
He's got to be coaching the Rockies.
He is somewhere. He is coaching somewhere.
I'm going to say Rockies.
A friend of mine talked to him the other day. That's a good guess.
Okay, I'll say the last name.
I thought it was Mariners.
The last name is the name of a famous American monument.
Rushmore?
No. Okay, maybe monument's the wrong word, but a famous American thing that's in Philadelphia.
Walt Weiss.
Bell? David Bell.
The bench coach.
David Bell.
Bingo.
Final answer.
Rocky?
That was too good of a clue. Damn it.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is writing an article, and I'm reading in it. Moss Miami sold out. Miami artists, Miami culture. And I'm reading, Moss Miami is sold out. and I'm reading about Digital Podcast Network, and I'm reading about us, and I'm like, this is our dreams coming true.
Stugatz!
1,000 people come out, and we see the shipping container, and they're on a stage, and they're like rock stars. You and me both had tears in our eyes. We're like mom and dad of sentiment, and it's hard to get you to sentiment, man.
That was a very emotional moment for us to see those guys. I'm telling you guys, you were on stage. Dan and I were both crying. Are you guys aware of this? Crying. Yeah, like we crocodile tears.
We believe
no, crocodile tears are fake. crocodile tears are fake.
I thought they meant big.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
This guy is super annoying. Because he has not aged since I've known him, and it makes me want to really, honestly, punch him right in the side of the neck with just an unreasonable fury. Because he would heal in five seconds and look better the entire time I've known him. Even though I know he's not a young person, because I've known him for a long time. He's been covering baseball exceptionally for Sports Illustrated, and Billy, he's done the big profile. You came in the other day. Enough with Aaron Judge. I'm done with Aaron Judge. You want a shot at Tom Verducci here, who comes in and writes the glorified mythology of the sports writer, celebrating the big slugger for the modern pinstripe times.
No, I'm sure it's lovely. How long was it, Tom? A couple thousand words? What are we?
Thousand words. Oh. Yeah. What's cool is you guys probably know Aaron Judge doesn't do a lot of sit down interviews. Doesn't do a lot of one on ones at all. So it was cool to actually sit down and get inside his head a little bit as he's going through this chase.
I assumed it's because he was boring, honestly.
Is he a big meathead, or is it because he's boring?
A little of both. listen, he's had nothing but positive press throughout his career, right? But, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's easy to get him to talk about the team and winning, and it's harder to get him to talk about himself. But that's who he is.
How much do you think, not about the chase or your piece, how much do you think the Yankees cost themselves by not extending him before the season? Because if he wins the MVP and the Triple Crown, it's not going to be cheap to bring him back.
Yeah, probably $75 to $90 million. I mean, listen, they made an offer on the table, what, $31.5 million? They're paying Giancarlo Stanton and Gerrit Cole going forward $35 million a year. The Angels are paying Anthony Rendon $35 million a year. So it was a hometown discount. I get that. But with the numbers he put up this season and, most importantly, stayed healthy the whole year, that was the one knock the Yankees had on him. I got to believe he's getting close to 7x40 rather than 7x31.5.
And you think it will be with the Yankees?
I do. I think it's hard to imagine that the Yankees won't be the highest bidder. I mean, listen, he sells more jerseys than anybody in baseball. People go to the ballpark to see him. He's an everyday player. He's the greatest homegrown Yankee slugger since Mickey Mantle. He's a marketing dream for any team, but especially for the Yankees. And it's hard for me to believe that the Mets or the Giants are going to outbid the New York Yankees, but they will have to be the top bidder, I believe.
How is it in 2022 that you could be a marketing dream when you don't say anything? You're just statuesque and beautiful.
You hit 60 homers.
And hit the ball really far as a Yankee. But you're saying it. But Mike Trout has been great for a long time.
In Anaheim,
it's that simple still, Tom?
Not that simple. I mean, it helps being 6'7" and 282 pounds. He's literally the biggest guy who's ever played baseball, at least a position player. The number 99, the judge's chamber. I mean, and he's a home run hitter. People love home run hitters. We all get that. And he plays for the Yankees. So he's got the biggest platform to perform. And what he's doing this year is historic. So, you know, he's now matching the platform that he had with performance.
Whittingham has an objection to Judge, and I'm with him on this, Verducci, and perhaps you could get with the times as an old-timey sports writer here and listen to Whittingham, who's got some advice. As you say, he's a marketing dream, and it's a meathead who clubs home runs and, you know, does rarely one-on-one interviews, and when he sits down with Verducci, the soul searcher, gives him a few crumbles and quotes about the team, but isn't a market. We will build the mythology around this guy, and Whittingham saying not anymore. It's not enough to just be a great slugger.
I just need a hook, Tom. I need something about Aaron Judge beyond the home run hitting, the excellence, the triple crown, the MVP that is eventually coming his way. Even earlier this year, like, I was kind of surprised that Aaron Judge was in the running to be AL MVP, just because I assumed that Ohtani was running away with it because of his ability as both a hitter and a pitcher. And I was also kind of mentioning, I think I know more about Edwin Diaz because he has a song that leads him out onto the field. I think Timmy Trumpet is as big of a baseball figure as anyone. I don't mean to insult, but, like, is there anything in your piece or in learning about Aaron Judge that gives him a hook? I need something beyond his excellence.
No, I get it. I mean, listen, you want some personality, right? I mean, it's not to say it's not there, but he's just the kind of flatline kind of guy with the way that he plays. You watch Aaron Judge play in right field, everything is under control. His parents are school teachers. He's very respectful. Listen, I don't think he goes swimming within an hour after eating lunch. I mean, he's that kind of guy, right? So we're looking for personality. I get it. I'm not sure there's a lot there in terms of being super interesting. I mean, he's a nice guy. I will tell you that. But what does that mean in terms of, you know, national appeal? We saw that with Mike Trout, right? What's the hook for Mike Trout? He's probably the best player of our generation, all-around player. And yet, part of it is because we haven't seen him win a postseason game. He doesn't have any kind of a national profile, right? So partly it's baseball's fault. It's just not as big as the other sports right now. But I do agree that there's, you know, Aaron doesn't give you a big window into that personality. I'm not sure what there is other than this is a really hard game to play on an everyday basis. And he's a nose to the grindstone kind of guy. I'm not sure we're missing something there about, you know.
I hate nose to the grindstone kind of guys. I don't like those. I hate to write about those. Tom, I want your honest opinion here. As a man who's done this well for a really long time, you sat at the computer writing this and you're like, this guy needs to be more interesting. I'm trying to make him interesting, but he's nose to the grindstone guy. I've been doing this too long.
Name recognition.
I've been doing this too long to write about nose to the grindstone guy. Or can you cultivate the spiritual peace around any athletic vessel, no matter how much the meathead?
Yeah, I don't know if you can make it up, but I was fascinated on this side that, you know, what is it about him at his side that's his size enabled him to stay healthy? Because, again, that was the knock the Yankees had on this guy. He was pulling obliques. He had calf injuries. He told me an interesting story about, you know, just as recently as, what, 3 years ago, he'd have one bad at bat to start a game and go right to the indoor batting cage during the game and start swinging, trying to work his way through it. And it was Edwin Encarnacion, a veteran teammate, who told him, dude, all you're doing is practicing bad swings and you're going to get yourself hurt. And kind of a light bulb went on for him. You rarely see him take BP before a game now. He has really cut back on his workload. He never did any kind of recovery when he was young, right? We're 25 and 26 years old. We're all bulletproof. He would just go home, have dinner, go to bed, wake up the next day, do the same thing. Now he's stretching after games. He's going into the hot and cold tubs. He's doing all this kind of recovery stuff. Basically, he's learned how to manage through a 162 game season, a 282 pound body. And he's been healthy the last 2 years. Is that exciting? No, but it's interesting to me that this guy is playing baseball at a size we've never seen before, has kind of, at least for now, conquered that one knock against him that the Yankees did have.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Will Aaron Judge forever be unable to capture America's heart because he refuses to rebelliously swim 9 minutes after eating, at Levitard Show?
It's dangerous, Dan, to do that.
Why isn't Ohtani just the runaway MVP, given that he is quite literally a player without precedent?
No, I agree. Most amazing player I've ever seen. I don't even know who's number two, but doing what he's doing is the most amazing thing in baseball. But if you're talking about valuable, they haven't played a meaningful game all year, at least since May. Judge has carried the Yankees in the second half of the season with all their injuries, and the lineup really has not produced well. I mean, Aaron Judge right now has had more home runs than anybody who's ever won a batting title. So you look at a guy hitting over 300, probably will win the Triple Crown or at least be close for a first-place team. He leads in 10 offensive categories. Here's the big thing for me, guys. He's got 20 more home runs than everybody else in baseball. You guys know back in the day with Babe Ruth and those guys, it was easy to be an outlier. The depth of talent was nothing like what it is today. And yet Judge is 20 home runs clear of the field. That hasn't happened since Babe Ruth in 1928. So basically you've got two unicorns, right? Ohtani doing the pitching, hitting thing and Judge hitting like nobody else, literally nobody else in baseball. But for me, he's the MVP when you throw in the context of first place team. It's not Otani's fault he's playing on a bad team. It's like Judge is going to get extra credit for doing it meaningful spots.
Tom, in a strange world where I say, hey, you can manage the Mets or the Yankees in the postseason with the obvious goal of winning a World Series, what team would you choose?
Well, that's a great question. I would probably still take the Yankees because I know they have a bye in the first round. I think the new playoff format is too heavily weighted towards the 1 and 2 seeds. You know, you're playing a team that's coming out of a 3-game series, already burned their 1 and 2, maybe 3 pitchers. Your staff is rested going in. The Braves play the Mets, as you guys know, that last weekend of the season, and it'll probably come down to that. So if the Mets are the 2 seed, that is a tough road to rather 3 seed. That's a tough road to win the World Series. Listen, Houston's sitting out there, and Houston has a better club than the Yankees, and they've proved that this year.
Well, the Dodgers
are
better than both.
I'm not putting the Yankees in the World Series, but I like the teams with the bye in the first round.
Right. I mean, the Dodgers are better than both, but I was just going by pitching staff, essentially. Like, I'd rather have the Mets pitching staff.
Yeah, but if the Mets have to burn DeGrom and Scherzer just to get to a DS, they could be vulnerable to the Dodgers,
Tom, as someone who really loves baseball, you've dedicated your professional life because you care about it. Can you explain to us, and you've seen all the permutations, the steroid age, what it means in New York? Because you came through before Sports Illustrated. You were a New York writer in New York. What it means that Judge is hovering around Maris, in the area of Maris and Mantle. As we forget about history, as baseball doesn't matter the way it used to, does it mean anything to you that this is a home run record that he seems to be approaching, quote unquote, clean because he's 282 pounds?
Yeah, it means a lot because, listen, they've been playing baseball in the American League since 1901, okay? And last night, something happened that's happened only for the third time since then, and that is a 60th home run that was hit. It was Ruth, it was Maris, and now it's Judge. So if you just look at the American League history, it's pretty darn amazing to see the way that it's happened, it's played out in this day and age where, let's face it, it's harder to get a hit in today's game than it's been since they lowered the mound in 1969, or if you want, since the DH in 73. So for him to stand out in this environment, yeah, the history is cool. The fact that it's still, you know, it's another Yankee on the heels of Maris and Ruth, that's pretty cool too. I was a little bit surprised though. I think the ballpark last night, I was there last night, I don't think it was sold out. I saw a bunch of empty seats. I'm a little bit surprised about that. And thinking back to, you know, Bonds and Sosa and McGuire, it seemed like every ballpark was packed as they got close. But as we know, it's a different landscape as far as baseball's national prominence goes, and even in New York.
Yeah, you see all these ballparks, you look in the stands, and it's like a made-for-television thing. The fact that you can get anywhere close to a full ballpark in New York for Aaron Judge, for anything, it's not that New York anymore. It's not those Yankees. It's not that as entertainment, where Mantle and Maris were the only thing in town. Going around baseball, though, Tom, can you explain to me how weird it is and how surprising it is to you, even understanding that baseball is weird and surprising? The Pujols thing. Like, I don't... Like,
surprising to you, I mean.
You're not surprised by the Pujols thing, but I thought he was done. I couldn't have been the only one who thought he was done.
No, you have to be surprised. I mean, he was pretty much done, right? He signed with the Cardinals as this guy to, you know, hit left-handed pitching every once in a while, come off the bench, pinch hit, and that's it. And now he's, like, hitting the ball as hard as anybody except Judge in the second half of the season. It's crazy. Amazing to see. And I will tell you this. Hubbard has one of the great game faces in baseball. I've seen him smile more at a baseball field the second half of the season than I think I saw in his first 20 years of his career. So he's enjoying this ride. It's the way you want to go out, right? Griffey walked away from the Mariners without telling him. Mike Schmidt retired in San Diego in the middle of a road trip. Babe Ruth quit in May because he couldn't stand the owner. Pujols is going out with his original team, hitting the ball like he did 10 years ago. So, you know, I'm happy to see a guy who was at the top of the game basically turn the clock back. And I'm shocked that he's hitting the ball this hard this well.
But Tom, I mean, you've been covering baseball a long time. If someone is doing something this well 10 years after they should be, given that you went through the steroid age, like... I don't want to be suspicious about Albert Pujols.
It seems like you are. What are you trying to say?
What are you trying to say, Dan?
Yeah. How the bleep are you able to do something no one's ever done at 42 years old? Like, how?
Yeah, you know, I asked Ollie Marmol that question. He's manager of the Cardinals, and he mentioned some mechanical adjustments that he made. He got closer to the plate. He thought Albert going to the All-Star game as basically he was a ceremonial pick, right? They honored legends of the game, him and Miggy Cabrera. He thought that really uplifted, because it was like a love fest for Albert, and rightfully so among his peers. And he thought that really picked him up. You know, he's not playing every day, so I think that has helped a little bit, keep him fresh this time of year. But it is amazing. I mean, I've always thought Albert was the kind of guy, with his swing, he could roll out of bed in December from the middle of a nap and get a line drive. But to do it night after night and the power he's doing, it is surprising, yeah.
Tom, nobody gets this ending. You know, Willie Mays stumbled out of the batter's box earlier than this age. Nobody is allowed in the history of the sport, not during steroids either, to age and get this ending. Nobody ever.
Yeah, I would say the best mic drop I ever saw was David Ortiz, right? His last season. Or you want to go back to Sandy Koufax. He was still top of his game, but his arm was pretty much just so, he was in so much pain he had to quit. And David Ortiz's last year was just amazing, right? That was probably the best finishing season of any position player. Albert's not quite on that level. But you're right. It rarely happens to even the best players go out very quietly.
Do you care at all that the Dodgers seem to be more overwhelming than everyone by a lot?
Yeah, Goliaths are good. I mean, you want teams that are heavily favored, right? It doesn't mean they're going to win, but everybody has to shoot for the Dodgers. I mean, they're going to push, what, 112 wins or something like that? And it could all go poof if they run into Scherzer and DeGrom. So they are the best team in baseball. They're the deepest team in baseball. You just love how they play. The top four in that batting order is like, I mean, that's a modern murderer's row, right? So they're an entertaining, fun team to watch. They can beat you in a lot of different ways, but they're no lock to win the World Series. I'd say they're a favorite, but no lock.
As the sport has changed, Tom, last question, with all of its evolutions through the shift, through all or nothing home running, through every guy coming out of the bullpen throws 101 miles an hour, and it doesn't matter that you have runners on second and third. Nobody's usually got runners on second and third, but the next three guys are going to strike out. That's not an actual rally. Through all of the changes in baseball, which is the one that you find most interesting as the sport has changed, and which one do you look at and say, I understand why people are done with this as America's pastime. It needs to be something different than this.
Well, I've been saying for the last few years, it's the worst possible formula you could give anybody in a very competitive entertainment landscape these days. And that's what baseball's been doing. They've been giving people less action over a longer period of time. That is a recipe for failure. You have to do the exact opposite. Give people more action over less time. That's why I'm looking forward to next season, Dan. I mean, the pitch clock alone will help tremendously. It probably will cut about 15 minutes off the time of game. You said it's not a big deal. Well, it is when the game's 3:07, but more than that, it's going to be perception. You're going to watch a game and it will look faster. So that is going to be a big change. You're going to have to put up with a month of players complaining about being on the clock and, oh, I need my time, because every pitch is like brain surgery these days. I can't wait to see the game. It's going to go back to where it was, at least visually, say 20 years ago. No shift, quicker pace. It'll be a little bit more offense without the shift. So you'll see a little the ball in play a little bit more. But pace of action, that is, it's not really time of game. Pace of action, we're going to go back hopefully to the 80s and 90s, get some more burners on the bases to add excitement to the game. I think I could be wrong, Dan, but I think next year the game will look a lot different than it does right now. And you know what? It's about time. It has to.
Which is crazy, though, when you consider that this year, right now, Tom, baseball is getting everything they want. With the exception of Boston and Chicago, maybe, you have the Yankees, you have the Mets, you have the Dodgers, you have the Cardinals. You have the teams that you want to be good, and they're all good. And they're all going to play each other in a postseason. And yet, it doesn't seem like enough to attract enough fans.
No, I mean, you're right. It's a great point. You think about the star franchises, the star players, what Otani's doing. You've got Judge. You've got Goldschmidt with the Cardinals with his own run at the Triple Crown. You got Freddie Freeman winning a batting title out in L.A. with Mookie Betts and a cast of stars. Scherzer and DeGrom, the best 1-2 combos since Schilling and Johnson. There's so much in play to say, hey, yeah, the game's in a pretty good spot, but the momentum just isn't there. I think probably what the game needs is a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, right? That's the biggest possible World Series. 7-game series, not a 4- or 5-game series. Then you'll see, I think, big numbers. But anything short of that, it's you have to wait till next year to see at least a better product on the field.
Thank you, Tom. Always good talking to you. Always good seeing you. Still want to.
I don't like seeing him. He looks too good, to be honest with you.
Still want to kick you in the face. Yeah. And yes, it's ridiculous. I think he's older than I am.
He is
older
than you are.
He's an asshole. Just, I want to say it. I want it known. Just, I look at him.
Thank you for that asshole. Compliment. You said it in such a nice way.
Thank you,
you
asshole.
Look great, Tom.
Thank you to the asshole, Tom Verducci. Good seeing you, sir.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.